1 Peter chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Let's begin with prayer today. Father, thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the hymns, the offertory special. We thank you for the opportunity years ago to get to know this young man and enjoy his singing and allow us now to pray that, dear Father, he'll come and be powerful for you, as each one of us need to be. And today we're going to be talking about this stone that we need to be standing on. And so please today that you'll help us to see the need to set ourselves upon that and build upon it. So please, dear Lord, now guide and lead us and touch every heart that is here. And please, dear Lord, that your word will be moving in their life and strengthen them and guide and lead them. Bring them, dear Lord, to salvation, that they know you as their Savior. They don't go one day, one more day. Today is the day of salvation. So please bring them to the cross of Calvary, that they can sing those hymns and enjoy it. So please speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. God's word is life. It gives life. It sustains life. And the reason that it does is because this precious word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have a relationship with not a religion, but we have a relationship with a person. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know of that relationship. This sustaining that it gives us, and we need to see that we depend upon Him and walk with Him and realize that He is our keeper. He literally bears us up. He keeps us going. He supports us. And with that word support here comes a side of rest. You know, that's something that the world cannot give. And that's rest. It cannot. And our God can. Our God can keep us. Again, sustain us. Our God supplies us with all necessary food. He tells us He will give us all our daily needs. And He will also give us all of our daily needs spiritually that we need. God's Word, His living Word, Jesus Christ, produces all this and more. So again, as we kind of close the last message, we must taste and see that He is good. We need to taste and see. We talked about after service last week that when you love something, when something tastes good to you, what do? You continue to come after it. You continue day after day. It's something that kind of consumes you. You want it. You desire to have it. And because it tastes so good. And you know, we can relate with that with food. Something that tastes good. And you just, you know, oh, it's been so long since we had that. It tastes so good. And so you finally fix it and you enjoy it. You say, why have we waited so long to fix that? Because it tastes so good. You go to the store so you can prepare these wonderful meals that taste so good. You go to wherever, to the donut shop. You go wherever you go, that's something that just meets with what you love to have. Because you think about it, you want it, and you go and get it. My question is, do you do the same thing with the Word of God? Does the Word of God have that in you that you desire to have it, to want it? Or is this something that just is kind of an extra in your day if you have time? Well, I think it depends upon how much and how close you got. Because you don't know how good something is until you have really tasted it. And I'm not talking about salvation here. Salvation is a free gift that God gives us. But the blessings of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the strength of God, all that comes the more you taste it, the more you consume it. And the more you consume it, the more you're going to want it. And so if you don't want it today, if it's just something that yes, I know I should do it, and yes, I know I'm saved, but I don't really want it, then please stop looking from afar and begin to taste it. Because it's closer to you when you taste it than it is when you touch it or see it or even smell it. It's closer if you taste it. So if you don't have that daily desire to be in God's Word and to do His will and His way, I'm asking you to come a little closer. To come a little closer. Spend a little more time. Let's get serious about knowing Jesus and walking with Him. We need to stop listening and looking and smelling and feeling. We need to taste it. Again, Psalms 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in Him. You see, we come by faith to Jesus Christ and salvation comes into our heart. And so then we have the ability to walk and to fellowship and to spend wonderful time with our Lord because the Spirit of God is within our heart. But are we trusting Him with our daily needs? Are we trusting Him with the challenges of today? Or is there something that we feel He's not capable of taking care of? Well, I'm going to tell you, He's here. And if you're His, if you know Him as your Savior, He will take care of whatever that is. Whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever it is, don't worry, turn it to the Lord. Take that time that we worry and are concerned and turn it to prayer. It says, Lord, here it is. You know me, you know the situation, please take care of it. And He will. You know, whether we're young or old, we know how to eat, how to drink. We know how to do that. We enjoy doing it. We do it on a daily basis. We do it multiple times through the day. As adults, we feed. We are the feeders. We We are in the process, in the business of feeding. Now, when we're feeding, you know, you feed the, I tell everybody that I've got to go feed my livestock. And so I head outside every morning. And then before I come back to the house, I feed my livestock. I've got three cats. So I feed my livestock. And so you see they're on a farm, so they get their livestock. They're livestock. Yeah, not pets. No, they're livestock. I feed them every day. I eat every day. We also do a feeding a little different than going out and me bringing you food. I give you my opinion. You give me yours. And we feed people continually in that manner. We feed our children. We give our children instruction. We're feeding them. We give friends and family instruction. We give someone that's passing on the street instruction. We're always telling people what to do, how to do it. Because so often we are of a prideful kind of way and we think that we know everything. And so I'm here to help you. Well, let's see, my friend, that in this tasting and seeing, in this process of feeding, that we are giving out something that is stronger than what is inside us of natural sources. But let's begin to be wise in what we speak. And let's say something of value. Sometimes it is a word of help, but the greatest words of value that we can give out is to tell people about Jesus Christ. And we can tell them about the Lord Jesus in a lot of ways. We tell them by giving them good advice, and that can only be brought to us because we possess the wisdom of God. And so when we speak and we act, we do things, we need to do it with God's wisdom. We do it with His strength. We need to tell folks about the Lord Jesus by our life and by our talk. Too often today, we as Christians get our information and that we pass on to others, we get it from the world. We get it from lost people. Now, we can learn things from lost people, but please be a discerner of what is pleasing to God, that we can give out good information to all that are around us. Let's be to our friends and to our family a Solomon, someone is wise. Someone that if there's trouble, they come to us because we give them good, solid advice. Not worldly advice. We don't get caught up with worldly troubles, but we give them good advice, God-given wisdom. Now, I've said all that to get to the place of this fourth verse. To whom coming as unto a living stone... A living stone. A stone is something normally we think of as being cold and not particularly a foundation stone. A foundation stone is not something that's attractive. A foundation is a stone is something that's kind of cold. In our old house, while we have a rock foundation, big old flat rocks, one laid on top of another and another and another. And it's a big, wide old foundation. But if you would go into my basement, you would find that it's not shiny and clean and new. It's kind of dusty and dirty and cold. Well, that's not the kind of stone we're talking about. We're talking about a living stone. Something that is alive, and clearer than that, someone that is alive, and that's our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we need to build upon. Lay the foundation being Jesus and then begin to build upon that foundation. The world sees even our God and our foundation being something of that's cold and something that's crude. But we know, because we have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, that our stone, the stone that we stand upon, the foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, living stone. Every person that has lived and is going to live, that does not come by faith to Jesus Christ, that does not build upon this living stone, their foundation at some point in time through their life will crumble, because it's upon sand. There is nothing solid about it. And so the older we get, you know, when you're young, you don't realize that the foundation isn't good. You just keep building. And normally it does take a while before even something that's built with no solid foundation, it even takes a period of time for it to begin to crumble. It takes a little bit of time. You build a building and it stands pretty good for even a few years with no foundation. But then you get a hard winter and you get the freezing and the thawing, and you begin to see it come apart. It begins to come apart. I remember back in 93 with the flood. I remember going down to Peggy's folks' house. And I remember Russ telling me that he says, you know, I should have bolted it down. He built the house. He drilled the holes. Peggy, you probably don't remember this. He drilled the holes and he didn't bolt it down. And the water floated it up and moved it around and they had to tear it apart. He said, my foundation was solid. He just didn't bolt the house to it. Well, you know, some of us got a good solid foundation because we know Jesus as our Savior. But we don't bolt down to it. We don't secure ourselves to it. And so we have worries and problems and things that just seem overwhelming because we're not looking to this wonderful living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture tells us here in this fourth verse that it is chosen of God and precious. Isaiah 28:16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The strength of Jesus. He is alive from the dead. Jesus endureth forever. He is our protector. Forever. We are set securely upon Him, upon this great foundation. If you have come by faith to Jesus, you possess that foundation. And if we expect to have a joy and a patience and a peace and have the wisdom of God to speak, have a strength of God to have His great wisdom, we must be building upon this sure foundation. Because this world will not give us this wisdom. This world will let us feel like we have the strength. Let us feel like we possess everything. And then all of a sudden, the house begins to crumble. We are, according to the Word of God, the temple of God. So you see, we have an opportunity that none of the world has. No one that is not saved, people that don't trust in Jesus, they have no foundation, nothing to set on. And so they're just going to wave from here and to there. And they begin to crumble and they begin to be unsteady. And when what you're standing on, you know, they've always threatened for years earthquakes in this area. We're on a great divide that's supposed to just shake us. But I've never, you know, it's been many years ago that I've experienced, we have had some slight earthquakes in this area. But you take an earthquake that shakes enough that the house falls down around you. It just shakes the world. And you talk to people that have lived through earthquakes, and they say it's a most horrifying feeling because your legs are like water. You're not solid, and you don't know what to grab. You don't know what to look for because there's nothing underneath you that is of something that is solid, of a foundation. The very foundation, the dirt, the concrete, whatever you're standing on seems to be floating away from you. And there's nothing you can do. Well, that's exactly what a lost person feels through their life. They feel strong and then they feel weak because the foundation begins to move. And they realize what they've built on isn't solid. So they go and move over and build again. And build again and build again, ignoring the foundation of Jesus Christ, ignoring the solid foundation, the only sure foundation, the only precious foundation. They ignore it. Let's see that we don't ignore the foundation that we possess. That we hold to that foundation, that we depend upon it. We know it's sure. We know it's never going to let us down. We know no matter what happens in our life, we have a sure foundation. And my friend, this world, that's the only thing that's important, is that foundation. Because everything comes from that. Your building comes from that. Please, trust in Jesus Christ today. We only have one Savior, Jesus Christ. There's only one spiritual building, and that's the church. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of that church, which holds it, binds it together. And so if one or all of us would try to build on something else besides the sure foundation of Jesus, it will begin to show wear and begin to crumble and to fall apart. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. The living stone, having eternal life in himself, Jesus Christ is our living stone because he was raised from the dead in victory. We moved past, in that fourth verse, disallowed indeed of men. We talked about what happens if you don't build upon this foundation as a believer. We've talked about if you don't possess this solid stone. But we have not really talked about how the world hates this precious living cornerstone. The world hates him. So, my friend, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and the world hates Jesus, shouldn't the world hate you? Yes, it should. The lover of the world and yourself as a believer should have very little in common. If you have problems with someone in the world, expect it, because they love the world and they hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate it all. They hate everything you are and everything you stand for if you're standing for Jesus. So please, don't be upset when they hate you. Just say, Lord, thank you, because they hated you first. And now they hate me. It's so sad today that the world does not love Jesus. Psalms 118, verse 22, "The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner." This world has gotten so religious that it can talk about God this and God that. But you want to find out where someone stands, you speak to them about Jesus, or just lift the name of Jesus up. You speak to them about the blood of Jesus Christ that saved you. You speak about the salvation that you need to possess, and you're going to find out very quickly where they stand, because the conversation will very quickly be changed. Very quickly. So please, trust in your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Expect to be persecuted from the outside world, because the world hates our God. This stone is the stone that is placed in a place that we need to build upon. And by building upon this foundation, it gives us life, it gives us joy, it gives us peace. That's what comes when we build upon that stone. Now, very quickly, and we may spend a little bit of time in a couple of weeks, because next week we'll be with the crucifixion. And if we go back to Daniel chapter 2, verses 32 and 34, you'll find the words in those verses of Scripture that speak of a statue, speak of a form. And that form is, again, very quickly, and please this afternoon go back to Daniel chapter 2 and read from, start earlier in the chapter there, verse 20 possibly, and then go to verse 34. And you'll see this complete story. But what it was is that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had this dream. And he called his wise men in, and none of them could tell him, and they could tell him not what the dream meant for a reason. It's because Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember it. And so how can you explain a dream to someone if he can't tell you what he was dreaming? Well, Daniel could. So Daniel come before him, and he began to tell him this dream. And he said, "There is one of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron and of iron and clay." I don't think I left any out. And so he said, "The statue is made of that." And we begin with the head. The head was gold. Shoulders and arms were the silver. And the belly was of brass. The legs was of iron. And the feet were of iron and clay together. So here's this statue. Here's this form. And then he goes on to explain that the gold, the head, is you, Nebuchadnezzar. And you're going to be taken down by the silver, something of less power. And then they, being the Medes and Persians, they'll be taken down by the brass, and that was Greece. And then they would be taken down by the iron, which is less again, and that's Rome. Daniel told all this. Told it 2,600 years ago. Now, if we come to the time when Jesus lived and when John lived, and he gave us the book of Revelation, you'll see that John says and tells him, five have fallen. At Daniel's day, none had fallen. Nebuchadnezzar hadn't fallen. Medes and Persians, of course, hadn't, because they hadn't even come into existence yet each time. And, of course, when Jesus was there, was Rome was in control. And so Daniel was prophesying of what was going to come to pass. But John looks back and he gave a history lesson. He said how many had fallen. Well, we got the feet and the toes are left, my friend. That's what's left. That hasn't come to pass yet. My whole point is of that, when it comes to the time of the feet and the toes and the Antichrist and the devil really taking his rightful position here at the end of the tribulation period, most of this will take place in the tribulation period, when that comes to pass, God will come, and we can learn that from not only Daniel chapter 2, you can also learn that from Revelation chapter 17. If you'll go there, you can see both those things. You're going to find something's going to happen. And as this stone that we're standing on that gives us all wisdom, joy, and power, this same stone is going to crush, to powder all unbelievers, the enemy. So you see, you can either stand upon this solid rock and be blessed by it, or you can falter from side to side all of your life, not feeling anything solid or great or strong because your foundation is worthless, only to find at the end you're going to be crushed to powder. That's what our God's going to do. So, my friend, we need to build upon this solid foundation. But first of all, we must possess that solid foundation. And we know the builders hate it. They left it out. The world hates Jesus Christ, hates our God. You see, there's no good in man. But we've got the greatest news to give to someone that's foundation is faltering. We have the greatest news to someone that has just fallen to their knees and don't know how to get up and has no hope, no peace, no joy. They seem like they're going crazy. They just have nothing to look forward to, nothing. All hopes and challenges are gone. The opportunities are gone. Well, what opportunity do you and I have to give to them? We have an opportunity of the cross, the stone that they have disallowed, the stone that they have refused for all those years. Please come and stand upon this solid foundation stone and get your sins forgiven. Get your life set right. Be set free and begin to build upon this solid foundation being Jesus Christ. What news we have. Now please, go back to Daniel chapter 2. Read that this afternoon. Go to Revelation chapter 17. Read through those verses of Scripture, and you'll be able to see how that it comes together. It's Revelation chapter 17, the 10th through the 17th verse is where you're going to find that. So please read those two areas of Scripture this afternoon. And see that either it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you or it's going to be a crushing, deadly blow. It's one or the other, depending on what you do with Jesus Christ. And then we have the works, you know, what we get to do. Salvation is free, but what we build upon this foundation then is a blessing to us because we have something to honor our Lord with. Not to mention the joy of living every day, knowing Him and having the peace and the joy and the strength and the wisdom. And if you don't possess that, but you know Jesus, it's because you're at a distance yet. You have not gotten to the place that you hunger and thirst after this righteousness. Please, spend time with Him. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank and praise You for Your precious Word. And I hope, dear Father, that this message, every word that has been spoken, was every word that You wanted spoken. If there's parts of it, dear Lord, that were not You, rid them from their minds and move in so carefully and so clearly every word and every part that each one of us need to hear from You today. Because in this old world, we need Your strength. Because when we don't have Your strength, we just feel like it's all falling down around us. We don't know what we're going to do. We need Your strength. It's there for us, dear Lord, if we'll just come and taste. Come and eat. Come and nourish our lives, our spiritual lives with you. But first, dear Lord, we know we need to come to the cross of Calvary for salvation. Please, whatever the need is today, I ask that you bring us to that place of decision, that place of movement. Now please, dear Lord, touch every heart, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.